Thank you, Ron, for that gracious introduction this morning. I was delighted when the board this year chose as our theme verse, Jesus Christ was the way, the only way, the truth, the only truth, the life, the only life, and the only way to the Father. And so this morning, as I share with you out of both Luke chapter 15 and John chapter 14, I want you to know that that focus has not changed. And it is because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life that we are gathered here today. If that were not true, we could pack up and eat right now. There'd be no need to spend any time looking at the Word of God. Take your Bibles this morning, open them to Luke 15, because here we see Jesus Christ, perhaps as intensely as anywhere in Scripture, opening up the heart of God. He wants us to know what makes God's heart beat strong. What is God interested in? What's most important to Him? And He uses a unique moment when the very conservative, legalistic, religious people are gathered around and they are bothered because Jesus Christ is spending time with the riffraff. He's not hanging out with these religious folks, and they're more than bothered. So Jesus, sensing this wonderful moment, gives us from God's point of view what's most important to God. If we can understand that, wouldn't that give us some cues as to perhaps what ought to be most important to us? And so here in the 15th chapter, Jesus lays out what's most important to God. I want you to see what I feel are absolutely, incredibly revolutionary prioritizing truths that answer the question, what is most important to God? First of all, to give you an idea of the intensity with which Jesus is teaching here, this is the only time in Scripture that He tells three stories in one parable. Notice He says in verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable. It is not three parables. The three stories, lost sheep, lost coins, lost sons, are one parable. Now, in Hebrew, anytime something's repeated, it means it's more intense. Jesus is repeating three times in one parable because He wants us to get this. What does He want us to get? First theme, something valuable is missing. In all these stories, you start with a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and when he counts them in the evening, he finds one's missing. He goes out to rescue that sheep, endangering his own life to rescue one sheep. What about the 99? Cares about one sheep. By the way, he left the others with under-shepherds. But the main shepherd so cared for an errant, rather catatonic sheep, this helpless sheep. Second story. A woman loses a coin. We think coin, quarters. This coin represented a whole day's wages. This is not just something chintzy. This is a hunk of funds. And so when she loses this, she starts a search because something valuable is missing. The last story, a son. A son hurts his dad, wounds his dad, leaves home, rejects his family, goes off. They don't even hear from him. He's lost. Each of these stories, something valuable is missing. Now, what is the vital truth that you begin to see as Jesus lays out these stories? First vital truth is this. These pictures represent people. And people matter to God. What is most important to God? You know what matters most to God? People. Particularly lost people. You see, in each of these stories, something was lost. A sheep, a coin, a son. And in each of these stories, you see an intense search is started. Why? Because the lost people matter to God. That ought to be worth an amen. Because you and I were lost people, and some of us may still be lost. People matter to God. Vital truth one. Lost people matter to God. Vital truth number two. God doesn't just love good people. God loves messed up people. He loves people that are off track. He loves people that have great needs. And when we lose sight of this, and particularly when we get a little smug in our sense of confidence with God, our tightness with Him, and the way things ought to happen, and we lose our sensitivity for the lost, we are missing what is central to the heart of God, which is that lost people matter to Him. What needs to be most important to the ministry of Mount Hermon and every church that you attend is lost people. Because God didn't beam you up to heaven, He left you here. And one of the reasons He's left us here is to reach out to lost people. So, the first key question is this: am I valuing what God values? Am I spending time building relationships with non-Christians, not just sequestering myself with Christians? I'm not saying don't spend time with God's people so you can be nurtured, edified, equipped, prayed for, enriched. Please do that. But folks, how many non-Christian friends do you have? Do you have pictures on your refrigerator that you're praying for? Do you have names somewhere above the kitchen sink or on the bathroom mirror that you're praying for? Who are you praying for right now? Lost people matter to God. And they ought to matter to us. Do I value what God values? Jesus didn't come just to found an organization. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's the heart of God. God does that. Second theme, a search is launched. In each of those three stories, you find the shepherd going out after the sheep. You find the woman lighting the lamp and sweeping the house. You find the father, even though he doesn't actively search, although later he runs, but the father in the third story is looking. Why do we know that? Because he saw his son when he was still a long way off. He's searching day by day. He's looking out that window at the road by which his son left. He's longing for that day when his son's going to come back. He's searching. A search is launched, and guess what? In each of these stories, something valuable is found. God loves you intensely. He doesn't want to lose you. God loves your unchurched friends and neighbors intensely. He doesn't want to lose them. He launches search and rescue mission. That's why Jesus came. He wants to spend eternity together with us. That's why He is the only way to the Father. That's how we inherit those mansions in John 14. Is through Jesus Christ. I've heard people say to me, it's nice to hear you say this about the good folks. I've really messed my life up. I've done horrible things. God couldn't really care about me. I've blown it so badly that folks, can I say to you, you matter intensely to God. I've heard a local pastor say this: God is crazy about you. God loves you so much that He took upon Himself the form of His creation. Jesus Christ, one of the creators, Colossians 1. Now the question is, are you seeking the people that God loves more than anything? Folks, I don't ever want Mount Hermon to be like that with God. God saying, Mount Hermon, when I help you reach out, well, we got two other, Do you know why we built a half pipe up at Pondy 3 years ago for skateboarders, and a year later built a skate park? You know why we did that? It wasn't because we want to make skateboarding the next Olympic sport. It's because we knew a lot of kids into skateboards that were lost. And we had a hunch that if we could put that facility in, that it would bring kids who would not come otherwise, and they'd hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The very first summer, the very first sports camp where we offered skateboarding as an option, 20 kids came. The leader on the first night told his counselor, look, we're here to skate. We're not into this religion stuff. We'll be polite while you do your religion stuff, but don't expect much. We're just here to skate. 4 days later, that kid stood up and said, I can't get over what's going on here. I've never met people like you before. I've never heard about a God like this before. I can't fight it any longer. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And before that week was over, 20 kids, every one of the ones who came to skateboard, gave their life to Jesus Christ. They're coming back now. They've become the missionaries to the rest of sports camp, our skateboarders. Why do we put ropes courses in? And why do we spend so much time with nice rooms and good food and all this stuff? You know why? It's because we want this to be a place where you can bring your unchurched friends and neighbors. You can bring them here and not be embarrassed by what happens. And while they're here, it's our prayer that through some mechanism, whether it's the witness of creation, the teaching of the word, the life of the people, your life lived out, it doesn't matter. You know what we want them to discover? Is that God loves lost people. And you know what? He's working to bring them to himself. And you don't have to be just a great person. God loves messed up people, just like he loves unmessed up people. Second question. First question is, am I valuing what God values? Second question, am I focusing on God's purpose for my life, or am I off track? If you're off track, you can get on track. I remember growing up, there was a guy in my high school. His name was Fred McGlone. He dated a gal by the name of Jamie Haley. If there was one young lady who was the biggest flirt in school and who would spin the incredible stories of the all-night beer parties, that was Jamie, and her boyfriend was Fred. I don't want to talk to you about the details, but you can fill in the blanks as to the kind of stories they'd tell. If you had asked me who would be least likely to ever come into the kingdom of God out of my high school class of 286, I could have given you the names, starting with Fred and Jamie. Well, lo and behold, they decided to get married. Dad gave the baccalaureate message. And so they knew a pastor now. They knew somebody who was religious. So they came to him to be married. And part of my dad's premarital counseling was always to talk about spirits. Well, I just want to tell you that during that premarital counseling, Jamie came to Jesus. Fred still hadn't come. On the night before they're going to get married, my father just said to Fred, you know, Fred, this isn't much pressure or anything, but if you aren't going to accept Jesus, I can't marry you in there. And so in the anteroom before they went in, Fred embraced Jesus. Now the question might be at that point, on what motivation did he do that? But may I say to you, it doesn't matter how you let Jesus in, because once he's in, stuff changes. I doubt that there has been a day go by in Fred's life that he has not shared Jesus Christ with someone. That guy became a dynamo. He had known what it was like to be lost. And he took it upon himself to gently talk to people about Jesus who was changing him. And there are scores of people all around Lansing, Michigan who are in the kingdom today. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's hundreds of people are in the kingdom today because of Fred McGlone, the least likely guy, the messed up lost person in high school that God in his creative way brought to himself. Why do I tell you this? It's because I need to be focusing on the things God is focusing. I need to be caring about the things God is caring about. We need to be doing that at Mount Hermon. Folks, God's got you here as part of this same plan. Okay, the third common theme. The finding results in rejoicing. Something valuable is missing. The search is launched, it's found, the son, the coin, the sheep is found. And you know what happens when they find it? They celebrate. Great celebrations. When you killed the fatted calf, that was the epitome of celebrations. This is a big party. God loves to celebrate. He does it all through the Old Testament. When they have a great victory, they get together and have a feast, and they dance, and they sing. Why? Because God loves to celebrate when he and his power and his truth triumphs. What happened when you gave your life to Christ? Can you remember the moment? For some of you, it's a distinct moment. For others of you, a period of time, but then you knew at the conclusion of that that you'd embraced Jesus as your Savior. Do you know what happened when that happened in heaven? They had a galactic celebration. They had a heavenly party. They had a banner that had your name on it, and angels and elders. They were celebrating. Why? Because the lost has been found. You say, you're making this up. No, look at this. Look at verse 7. I tell you in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. But there's more joy in heaven over that one than all of this religiosity going on over here. And then again in the coin, in the same way I tell you there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then the picture of the Father is the picture of God the Father. And when the lost son comes, the Father runs to him, kisses him, gives him his coat, brings him into the house, gives him the ring, rejoices, celebrates. Folks, do we celebrate? Vital truth number 3. Not only do people matter to God, not only do lost people matter to God, you matter to God. I matter to God. And you know, we accept this for other people. We say, oh yeah, I know Mary matters to God. I know John matters to God. I know Ron matters to God. I know Rachel matters to God. I know they matter to God. Now let me prove this to you. How many of you have a purse or a wallet here with you today? If you have a purse or a wallet with some pictures in it, would you pull those pictures out? You got your family, you got your friends, you got your grandkids in them. I want you to pull them out right now, and I want you to brag on them to somebody around you that doesn't know these people. Just do it right now. Just pull out your wallet, pull out your purse, open up those pictures, talk about those people to somebody who doesn't know them. I want to show you. These are my kids. This is Joy, youngest daughter. Uh-huh. And that's another picture of Joy. And this is back here is Sarah, our oldest daughter, and another picture of Sarah. She's going to Fuller this fall, study for MDiv. She just wants to move into ministry. And Joy, she's a singer. She's been signed by Nashville Christian firm, and they're planning her first CD next year. Both kids have such a heart for God. It's really neat. Anyway, those are our kids.
And then this is David in Sammy Sosa's limousine. Good. The other day.
All right.
They took us to the airport. This is David singing.
Look at that. Cubs. How fun.
This is David singing at Moody Church in Chicago.
Great.
And a concert. And this is David
at
singing
the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's.
Glad I know you're still doing that. Are you proud of David? Yeah, you are. I can tell. Okay, look at the smiles as you're doing this. Are you having fun doing this? You are having fun. Now, keep your wallet out. Would you turn to your driver's license? Now I want you to take that picture, and I want you to brag on that to your friends. Talk about how much. Would you do that? You don't want to do this, do you? No. You don't want to do this. Now, partly you're going to say, I don't want to do this because the DMV took that picture, and it really is bad, right? There are very few flattering DMV pictures. But folks, there's another reason. Do you know what the other reason is? Do you know why we don't want to show our picture? Why we don't want to talk about that? It's because we're not really sure that we're very precious, that we're very treasured. We sort of think God sees our soul through a DMV lens. And so we don't have a problem saying that you matter to God, but sometimes we have a huge problem saying, I matter to God. God can love the good people. God sees others as precious, treasured. God can't see me like that. Folks, can I tell you, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, do you know how God sees you today? When God looks at you, the Son, S-O-N, gets in his eyes. When God sees Roger, the Son, Jesus, gets in his eyes. Why? Because he has imputed his righteousness to me. I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. I don't deserve it. It's all of God's grace. But he's wrapped me in those righteous robes. And then he says, Hebrews 14:4-16, he says, now come with confidence to my throne when you've messed up, so that I can give you grace and strength in your time of need. Do you realize when God calls us to his presence? It's not when we've done the great thing, not when we've been really stellar for the kingdom. He calls us to come in our time of need. It's when we've messed up. He says, come. Oh, come. I see you just like I see my son. Come on. Come sit in my lap. Let me work with you. How does God see you today? Like he sees his son. He loves and prizes you. His joy when he opens his wallet, if he has one, and shows your picture. He likes to brag on you. Why? He loves you. You matter to him. So we not only have propositional truth. Sinners matter. Something valuable is missing. What is it? Sinners. And they matter to God. Something valuable is found. Sinners matter so much that they warranted action. And so Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has eternal life, is lifted from death to life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I've come that you might come to the Father through me. And guess what? When people do that, there's rejoicing. When people are restored, there's rejoicing in heaven. Verses 7, 10, and 24 of Luke 15. There's the propositional truth. Now, can I go one step further? This is the emotional truth that needs to go from here to here. Your head and your heart need to shake hands on this one. You see, not only do sinners matter? You matter to God. You say, you don't know what's in my background. I don't. But guess what? Doesn't matter. You matter to God, not your background. Not the mistakes. Not the failures. You matter to God. And guess what? Not only does he sense that you're missing, but he mounts a search and rescue team to find you. And you matter so much to him that when you embraced him, however you chose to do that, whenever you did it, in the moment you did that, there was a huge celebration in heaven. Now look in the middle. Something valuable is found. You matter so much that Jesus died for you. And look at this. The Holy Spirit spent years seeking you. Something valuable is missing, you. Something valuable is found. Yes, Holy Spirit spent years bringing you to himself. And when you embraced Christ as your Savior, the result was a celebration. Now, why does Jesus pour out these pictures to us? Why does he give us this? It's because I think he wants us to see the heart of God. He wants us to understand what's at the very core of who God is. And he wants us to arrange our lives and to set the purpose of our ministries in alignment with his heart. What's most important to God? People. And lost people. And redeemed people. Messed up people. Which, we're all in that boat. Just look around you. Everybody here is messed up. We're all messed up people. And you matter to God. So Christians, if I can just speak to you as we close here this morning. As I've been talking this morning, perhaps God has brought a face before you. Someone that's in your family, someone that's your neighbor, someone that's your friend, to the best of your knowledge, has never, ever embraced Christ as their Savior. And God keeps flashing that. The back of your eyelids have become that video screen. And that face keeps coming up. That name's printing across. Are you willing? Are you willing to align your life with what's most important to God? Are you willing to ask him to be a seed sower? Maybe a more proactive seed sower? God doesn't ask you to save that person. That's the work of God. He just asks us to plant the seeds. Scatter the seeds of His truth and His life. If God's been doing that this morning, I'm going to ask you, if you'd be willing to ask God, begin praying for that person, that the time will open up where you can actively be involved in sharing Jesus with them. I don't know how it'll happen. Coffee, golf date, fishing, walking grocery aisles. I don't know where it'll happen. But are you willing to do that? Some of you may be sitting here this morning and say, you know, this can be true for other people, but this can't be true for me. And it's because your life has had a lot of mistakes in it. You've done horrible things. You've wandered a long way from God. Can I just say to you that there isn't anything that you've done, there isn't anything you could ever do that would be too great for God's forgiveness and God's love and God's grace. Nothing. Maybe it's the first time for some of you you've ever heard and really grasped how much God loves you. God loves you intensely. Jesus loves you so much He'd rather die than live without you, and He did. And maybe you want to say that, I don't know all the Bible and I don't understand all the theological implications, but as much as I know this morning, I want to come to meet this Jesus. I want to meet Him. I want Him to forgive my sins. I want to know Him. I want to get to know a God that loves messed up people, lost people. That can happen today. You can join the family. All you have to do is ask Him. He's been seeking you for a long time. He's just waiting. It's a simple commitment. As a believer, knowing how much we matter to God should bring hope, acceptance, value, and give us the purpose of wanting to be a seed sower for Christ. As an inquirer or seeker, knowing how much we matter to God brings hope for forgiveness and the opportunity to really know Him. Will you bow in prayer? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to speak first of all to Christians, people who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if they would die tonight, they'd go to be with the Lord in heaven. Has God brought a name or a face before you this morning? And if He has, are you willing to respond to the Spirit of God as He has cued your video screen with that name and face? Are you willing to say, God, I want a purpose in my heart to be proactive in reaching out. I'm going to start praying for an opportunity to share Jesus. If you're willing to say that to God, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right now before God. This is a commitment to Him. I see some hands. Are there others? Yes, more hands. Many hands. Thank you. Others in the back? Yes, see those hands. I see those hands. It is in God's strength that we will do this, not our own. If you're here this morning and you're still in the seeker mode, you're still investigating the claims of Christ, but as a result of what's been talked about this morning, for the first time you're sensing that God really, really loves you, mess and all, and that God really wants to bring you to Himself. And while you don't understand it all, you don't know it all, you want your sins forgiven. You want a fresh start. You want to meet Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today, I'd like you to slip your hand up, and then I'm going to close with a prayer that you can pray with me, and you can enter into the kingdom of God. Is there someone here this morning that says, I don't know it all, but as much as I know, I want to yield my life. I want to come to know Jesus. Anyone? See the hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank You for opening up Your heart and the Father's heart in this tremendous chapter. Thank You for helping us to know that people matter to You. Lost people matter to You. I matter to You. And for those who raised their hand this morning and have asked that they want to embrace You as their Savior, Lord, I'd ask them just to pray these simple words, their own words in their heart. Lord Jesus, I know You love me. I want you to forgive my sins. I believe you died for me. I want you to come into my life. I trust you for my salvation. And for those who raise their hands that they want to move out and join you in your purpose for leaving us on planet Earth, what's most important? Bringing lost people into the kingdom. God, I pray that you'll just strengthen and bring creativity to the minds of these folks. I thank you they have hearts that are tender and sensitive to yourself. I thank you that they have a desire to align themselves with what's most important from your perspective. And I would ask, since you've given them this relationship with these persons or person, I would ask that you would open up the opportunities. May you work that wonderful creative opportunity or opportunities where it's just ripe for them to share, both with their lives and with their lips, with gentleness and respect, the reason that they have hope, the Savior that they love. May you allow them to talk about Jesus with their friends and their relatives and their children. And so, God, I pray for them. I pray that you'll strengthen them, equip them, take away their fear, give them the words to speak, give them the idea to use to even prepare the time and the place. And may we rejoice together, and may there be some new celebrations as we see lost people get found. Thank you, God, that you care about us this deeply and love us this intensely. Thank you that you care and love me. Pray these things in the strong name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said together,